This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. 2015 was a record year for federal firearm background checks. Almost 23 million people in this country went into gun shops and bought or tried to buy guns. Paul Barrett, a senior writer at Bloomberg Businessweek, spent 3 days behind the sales counter at a gun shop out in Nevada to see what that business is like on the inside. Paul, welcome to the program.
Glad to be here. Thanks.
Tell me what this place was like, the West Side Armory.
Yeah, it's a surprisingly cheerful, ordinary shopping mall store, except what they're selling is not Starbucks coffee or muffins, but instead Smith & Wesson and Glocks.
What's the big seller?
The semi-automatic pistol. In this case, they had a sale going with a particular model that has a flashlight attached to it to identify nighttime intruders. $399.99 with the flashlight, down from $500 and change. So it was quite a bargain.
That's really not very much money in the grand scheme of things.
It isn't. The gun market itself, the legitimate gun market, is not a terribly high margin market. The people selling guns at retail are not making a huge profit off each firearm, so they've got to be in a volume business. They've got to sell a lot in order to make money.
You write that the folks in this store were almost unfailingly diligent in background checks and just being aware of who the purchases are.
Yeah, I think their heart and minds are in the right place. They do perform the background checks, you know, as the law requires, and even go a little further in the sense that under the law, strictly speaking, if a background check is done and the government authority does not resolve the background check within 3 days, the gun retailer, surprisingly, is allowed at that point to go ahead with the gun transfer. Well, this store, Westside Armory, doesn't do that. They will not sell a gun and let it go out onto the street until the background check has been resolved one way or the other. But all that said, it's impossible to avoid all mistakes.
Lots of interesting anecdotes in this article, and I want to talk about a couple of them. The first one is a guy who bought a handgun for his glove compartment, right? Because his earlier one had been stolen, and then the staffer at the store said something interesting to you after the guy walked
out. Exactly. They just went ahead and did the sale. It was quite routine. And the staff member just turned to me when the guy left and said, well, I hope he's a lot more careful with this one because that stolen gun is on the black market now. People don't steal guns to take them home and put them in a trophy case. They steal guns to use them in crime or to resell them to other people who are going to use them in crime.
Yeah, but but it's a legal sale, right? I mean,
absolutely.
Just because the guy's a bonehead doesn't mean it's an illegal sale.
You got it. So that's a great example of how the legitimate retail sale of guns to, you know, potentially to a law-abiding, if somewhat negligent consumer, can feed the black market. And, you know, there's not really that much for the retailer to do. There's no reason for him to refrain from making that sale, even though he has some reason to believe that that consumer might not be the kind of guy who keeps his car doors locked.
I want to ask you about the owner of this shop. He says at one point in your piece that it makes him sad that fear sells guns in the face of, parenthetically here, declining crime statistics almost everywhere. But the marketing in his store is basically your home is your castle, defend it, and it's all about insecurity.
Exactly. I mean, he would prefer if people were coming in and talking about the shooting sports and target shooting and hunting and so forth. That would be elevating and make him feel like he was part of, you know, sort of an elevated recreational pursuit. The fact is that people come in because they're afraid and they buy a handgun or they, in many cases, buy a second, third or fourth handgun. And he's saying that, you know, other things being equal, he wishes that he wasn't doing fear marketing, but then he has to concede when I show him his own advertising that, yes, he's doing that. And he says, look, I'm just a capitalist. Business is business. And that's the way we do the gun business in this country, for better or for worse.
Paul Barrett is a senior writer at Bloomberg Businessweek. His book, by the way, about the subject at hand is called Glock, The Rise of America's Gun. Paul, thanks very much.
My pleasure. Thanks.